Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You are watching the Deadfoot Diver Podcast with Kurt the Deadfoot Diver.
Welcome to the Deadfoot Diver Podcast, where we talk about everything diving, tech diving, and especially the benefits of diving with disabilities. So any of you guys who have been watching my channel recently have seen that I had a chance to dive this new Avelo system that came out. And I've had Jennifer Idle on my podcast previously. Well, I'm super excited today because I actually have the inventor, Aviad Kahana, on. How's it going, Aviad?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. I am so pleased to meet you. I mean, I cannot tell you. You've seen the video that I posted, and I mean, you could see the difference just in what it did. Your system did for me right off the bat.
Yep. For you and many. Many people, which is great.
It is amazing. I mean, the other thing that, I mean, this unit is going to definitely save people's lives. I am convinced of that. I mean, I had, even when we've been doing some of our testing up here recently, when I've been going up with my buddy to shoot some videos, the one day we traded dry suits. Well, his dry suit fit big in the legs for me, got some air in it. But on the Avelo, I didn't do a rocket ascent like you normally would have with a normal scuba system. I mean, it is amazing. You can actually have time to react even if everything fails. It's no big deal. You just keep going and go up.
Yeah, it's the nature of physics. A balloon tends to expand and accelerate. It's just accelerating forces. What you're describing is common. The largest, you went through the e-learning, and I think you made a comment about this system is going to save lives. Yep. Training save lives, like training in all disciplines of scuba, as you know. But training needs to be paired with adequate equipment. So it's interesting to see the change that is being done through the training of this, because it's very hard to grasp how much force an expanding balloon can generate, either up if it's expanding or down if it's contracting, because you can't see it. You develop a sensation of what it is, but the force is much, much greater than what you anticipate, even if you're a very seasoned diver. And then I think you saw it through the e-learning that we talk about it, but then we explain why what you're describing is happening. Like, your sensation reflects what to me is the physics of things. You know, obviously a balloon will expand, you know, and it's an accelerating force too. It's not only expanding, it's propagating the force up. So yeah, that's it. But to me, it's a lot of it is training. Training is the key to many, many things.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Training in scuba in general is very important. I mean, I was amazed actually at how easy it was to adapt to diving to this, and how I kept finding myself reaching for my BCD during the first few dives. Yeah, I was like, cool. Oh, I don't have to. And I mean, even venting my dry suit, it's way easier to dive in a dry suit with it.
Did you talk to Dan Orr?
I did, actually. I had Dan on my show, And he was actually the first person I heard about the Avello system from. And it was quite funny because he was raving about it. And he's like, I tried to break it. I tried to make it do things that it shouldn't do. And I couldn't. All week I did that. And I'm like, okay, well, interesting. But I find this kind of hard to believe. So I kind of said to my buddy, I said, on the way, I said, all right, let's test this thing out. Because I said, this is not possible that this will work this well. And it does. It's amazing. I mean, especially for people with disabilities of any type, way safer to have them in the water with this, because they actually have more time to react. They're, you know, especially like with me, I have multiple disabilities I'm dealing with on a dive. And at least this way, if something were to go wrong, it's, you just go up. I mean, basically the only major failure you can have is your regulator.
Tell me, out of interest, how many dives do you have? How experienced of a diver are you?
I used to be a instructor and also commercial diver and treasure diver back in the 90s. I just started diving again last year. And I've gotten, since I've started again, I've gotten about 130 dives in.
And when you were active in it on the professional level, how many different environments, like cold water, warm water, strong currents, all that? How much of this was part of your experience?
All of it. I've dove in the St. Lawrence Seaway. I've dove, most of my diving was cold water up here. I did spend a year down in Florida, though, and I've done a fair amount of diving down there. So I've had some pretty adverse environments.
So I think I'll give you my perspective. What you're describing is a very experienced diver in many different conditions, cold water, dry suit to warm water, no dry suit, very different types of buoyancy, very different types of equipment, visibility, anxious causing things. So when you're saying that you have a long response time, but you're a very experienced diver. Now put yourself in the shoes. So what you overcome, as you know, I mean, when you're saying I was reaching for it a lot, it's because you're, you know, many, many years of experience makes you anticipate and react in advance. What this does, now put yourself in the perspective of a very new diver. New, let's start with never dove before. When they tell you you're going to go dive, your mindset is, now I know how to swim. Diving is going to be me, like in a pool, I'm going to swim down, free dive. They don't even use the term, but they will anticipate a free dive sensation. And then they'll see fish around magically. And they'll just swim around. The concept of buoyancy doesn't exist. Again, we're talking about somebody who never dove before, but what they think. You know, they went and they saw Avatar. And they want to be like that. The idea is to actually give them that sensation, which it's just much closer to that because you don't, the anticipation and the changing and the reaching or changing body position, well, that will come because airbag like dry suits are important. When you separate the two, when you're saying, okay, I'm taking, you know, somebody who's not, you know, who's not as experienced as you are, their ability to swim underwater is just significantly improved because they're not carrying a bubble on their back up and down, which you can definitely adjust for, but then you need to adjust for it all the time. So that's why, you know, you're reaching for it because you have that experience in advance. The nice thing is that the system really does give you an intro into diving that is just much smoother and much more in line with your expectation of what scuba should be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. And by the way, we're also on your favorite podcast platforms now. We are on Amazon. We are on Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio. We are on Player FM and Podchaser. All of the descriptions are going to be down below, so make sure you check us out. Thanks. Have a great day. And remember, grab an adventure and live.
Yep. You know, it's. I would say that it's, you know, for you who's very experienced, it's a neat, it's a refreshing change, because you don't. What you're finding underwater is you reach, there's nothing there, and then you figure out that you don't even need it.
You need for me, diver that, yeah. For me, it's not even just a refreshing change not to have to do that. It's much safer because I have one eye. So, I mean, especially when I'm diving side mounts or anything, I got to look at multiple pressure gauges. I got to look like keep an eye out for leaks, keep an eye out for my buddy, plus do some photography, do some video or whatever. And then on top of that, you know, I got to try and enjoy my dive.
Absolutely. And see, the other thing is you came into it, you already had very good lung control. And as you know, you said you were an instructor. You know, it's the holy grail to teach a diver's lung control. In the absence of the balloon, teaching lung control is, you know, people actually hone lung control a lot faster. Oh, yeah. Did you dive it without the dry suit, by the way? Or all of your dives with the dry suit?
I have not yet dove it without a dry suit because right. It's very cold here right now. We've been slammed by snow. And not only that, the last week I've been dealing with a tooth issue, which I'm getting fixed on Tuesday. So I actually have a pool session set up on Wednesday. I'm going to go play around with it with a wetsuit and in the pool. Just to test it.
Yep. I'm looking forward for you. Obviously, it really does feel like you swim underwater. And that's all there is to it.
It is.
You need to equalize. Incredible. You need to equalize.
So tell me, how did you get the idea to start inventing the Avelo system?
Oh, You just said it yourself. What's the number one that you think about when you go there? That's the number one that you go, oh, I really want to go, but, you know.
The weight.
Thing is heavy. So I was teaching diving in the Red Sea many, many years ago, you know, when we were all young and strong. And the gear was this rite of passage. Like you carry it because you're... Whatever. I got out of it. I became a chemical engineer. I did other things in life. When I got back into scuba recreationally, you know, similar to you, when you're saying, okay, I'm going to go back. You said a year ago, you got back into scuba. You really do feel the difference in weight when you go back into it. And you also look at the gear and you're saying, wow, a lot of things have changed. Like computers especially made a big deal and a big improvement. There are improvements, but the fundamental issue of scuba is carrying that gear. And your video shows it. Shore dives, rocky. And it gets to the point that you're like, if I do that and I twist an ankle, how many weeks of family time am I then missing in recovery? How many weeks of work? And, you know, how does it affect the rest of my life? Considerations that you don't have when you're 20.
yeah.
So, no, but in all seriousness, there's the mental, I need to go like deal with the gear. And there's also the aspect of, it's definitely an effect. There's a dive site on Maui that somewhat resembles that entry that you showed in your video, except it has a much longer walk in shallow water until you reach the area that you can go in. And on one of the dives, as I was walking in, the desire to reduce weight was born well before, like for all of us. Almost every time you carry the gear, you're like, can they come up with something that will be lighter? And they can, because, you know, carbon fiber tanks have been around forever. And they're used in all kinds of industries, paintball and other stuff. So that I knew. But as I was walking into the water, very similar to how you're showing in your video, I'm like, dude, the only reason that we're carrying this weight is really because the tank itself, the shell, the metal, needs to contain a lot of energy. If you put scuba aside for a second and you take a different perspective, what you have is a pressure vessel on your back. Some would say a bomb, but it's a pressure vessel that contains a lot of energy. That's why it needs to be so robust. But we're advanced now. It's the 21st century, and we know how to deal with a lot of energy like that, and it can be contained in far lighter equipment, because firefighters don't carry scuba tanks on their back, and special units don't, and paintball kids who run around definitely don't. So we know how to carry gases on our back, but it doesn't work in scuba because they're too light. They provide the same buoyancy. They have a certain displacement. They're too light. So if you just go buy a carbon fiber tank, you just need to add more weight and you get to the same effect. You need to sink the tank itself. And I'm like, you know, it would be really nice if I had a tank that would be very light, will float me on the surface when I go in. But then when I'm ready to dive, I just want to take the tank and like make it smaller. I just forget a wing and a BC and whatever. I just want to make the tank smaller. So throughout the dive, I was thinking, well, it would be interesting to have a tank. I wonder if the tank would just compress somehow. Well, that's not going to work. What about a piston? You know, like a tank that has some sort of a piston inside. And after that, it was like, wait, accumulators that are shock absorbers. Those are perfectly suitable for what you need, because you have a shell that you can make as light as you'd like, and they have an inner bladder that can serve as the actual, the gas container. And all you need to do, you need a tank that can shrink while you dive, because the whole game here is that you carry about 3 kilograms or 6 pounds of gas on your back into the water, but you're going to get rid of it because you're going to breathe it, so it's going to become lighter. Well, if you're going to become lighter, you need to take weight in advance to compensate for that. So then you end up carrying the 6 pounds of gas plus another at least 6 pounds of mass, lead weight, at the very minimum, to get that. Well, it means that you have to start the dive too heavy, so you add a balloon. The whole philosophy of scuba kind of unraveled. And you're like, wait, if I can just go without this, all I need to do is to replace the amount of gas that I'm breathing with the amount of water that I can pump into that accumulator. So while not all of it, you know, congealed in my head through the dive, much of it did. Like when I didn't even pay attention to the dive. When I got out of the water, it was like in the outdoor shower as I was rinsing the gear, that I'm like, wait, the pressure is going to go up, but it's not going to go up as much. I need an Excel sheet. I need to calculate this. This is, you know, this is more than an idea. So that's how it was born. It was born from the amount of weight, or reducing weight. It didn't take very long for the physics to like check out that really this should work, because if you mimic a dive profile, and you say, okay, I just replace for every gram of air that I consume, I need a milliliter of water that will be in the tank to replace it, and then from there, it was like, yeah, we can definitely get this to work. So at that point, it was like, okay, should it be electric or pneumatic? Should it be, you know, should we just convert the regulator to be a mechanical device that every time that you breathe, it pumps water into the tank, like a pneumatic pump? You don't even need electricity. So there were several ideas. So that followed by development efforts in both directions. But that's how it was born. And it was
Wow.
tested. That's what's funny. You know how you said before when Dan Orr came in and said, "I'm going to test it," and for you too, and anybody that we hear that they say that they're going to test it. Listen, for 3 years, we dealt with zip ties and duct tape stuff that was never intended for that use. All the testing in the world, like this went through trials and error with, in things that barely worked. And the dev experience was still better than a fully functional working BCD. So yeah.
It's a lot more comfortable too because you don't have all the cumbersome stuff on you. You've basically just got a harness and a back plate, which is awesome.
And if you needed to carry other stuff, then you attach it like you attach stuff today. The harness is somewhat similar to a harness today, just it's streamlined. It allows you to start from a very streamlined approach, which I think that's also what you felt underwater in your video, that you don't
Yeah.
have another sail that causes drag. Yeah, the consequence of diving with just a tank with a very minimalistic system is that you feel a lot of things underwater. And we talked a lot about the weight. How was your diving experience itself?
It was those were the best dives I've had since I started diving again, even though they were in a quarry. I mean, I actually got to enjoy the dive more.
We get it all the time. We get it all the time. Those people will go in and they dive, on sites that have sand, because they focus on the flying sensation, on the flying underwater,
Yeah.
which is very cool because that's so that wasn't known when the system was invented. It was invented to reduce weight. It was the first dive, literally the first dive underwater with a prototype, that obviously failed in a few minutes. Like even then, the diving sensation itself was like for those that were in it, we got out of the water and we're like, this is a game changer. This feels fantastically better. As from a diving experience, this is so much more stable, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the best thing I like about it is that I actually get to enjoy the dive and I don't have to worry so much about all the other stuff I normally have to look at with regular scuba. It is much more enjoyable. And in fact, we did a shared air, an out of air ascent on it. And let me tell you, that's the easiest shared air I've ever done.
We teach rescue on it and all that. It's funny. I'll take you somewhere else with this. Now that you dove it and you actually experience it, when you think about, I'm sure that people asked you, just friends and family and acquaintance, and they ask you, okay, divers, people who you dive and respect, and you talk to them. It is so much different than st the difference in sensation of diving is so different that the biggest hurdle with a velo is to explain that. It's just because they, it just it's unbelievable in the you're like,
It
it can't
is.
be
I
that good.
mean,
I've been diving, like Dan Orr. You've been diving for 50 years. You're not going to change Dan Orr's experience until you do.
and even with Dan telling me that, I'm like, okay, there's no way. It can't be this good. It can't be this easy to dive with. It's like,
It's like, yeah,
in
which is
fact,
funny because, yeah.
I want to work with disabled people to get them doing scuba therapy and stuff like that. If I was an instructor again, I would only have somebody, especially if they had any type of disability at all, I would only have them on the Avelo system because you can react quicker. The worst thing you have is when a student decides to bolt to the surface on you.
Yeah, and it's not that they react quicker, just what we learned through the years of diving it in many different conditions, because we had to experiment with the system was developed through COVID, and getting parts, and it was all on Maui. So getting parts, we have really fantastic partners, and they did everything that they could to get us the gear. But when you think about it, you have four units-ish, that each one of those has different configurations because you're still in development. And obviously things fail all the time. You're in development. Yep. You don't even know what's going to fail on you. It's not like today where you have a certification program and a support system and, you know, white glove service. You're on your own and you're in the ocean. And things fail all the time. And when they do, the response time is a half hour. You have a half hour before anything is going to change on you to slowly but surely, you know, tell your body, yeah, we should abort, I guess. Let's go to the safety, you know.
That's true, because you don't even really have to abandon the dive even if the pump fails on it. You can just continue.
We are a training organization, and of course you need to abort the dive. But you should. No. When gear fails, yeah, you should abort the dive. But it just gives you a far longer mitigation time. And you know how you said one of the worst things is somebody bolting to the surface? So, you know, in a more experienced diver, when that happens, it's even worse because it's unexpected. It's like they don't, it's an outcome of unpractice or coming back into the field and all that. But it can be very stressful, and it's propagating because things change very quickly. For example, a weight pocket drops. You can be very intelligent and even somewhat, you can have 100 standard dives, but if you only dive every 2 years on a long vacation, but every 2 years you're doing this liveaboard, 2 weeks of a liveaboard. Yes, you have 100 dives, but a weight pocket that falls requires a quick response. You have to be on top of it before, you know, the force propagate. So that's the equivalent. I'm sure you've done it in your class. You know how we have a scale that you drop all the water out of the tank to show you that even then, you know, signal abort and we will slowly ascend to the surface on our own time.
Well, yes, you should abort the dive if the pump fails.
you should. But the difference is in an equipment failure, like a BCD inflating on you, and again, unpracticed, you're not quite sure how to disconnect the hose. Everything is training. But at the end of the day, the equipment doesn't decide to abort the dive for you with a Velo. You decide to abort the dive. It's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last year, actually, I had a very scary experience. I had a BCI taken in to get serviced. I was kind of suspect that maybe it hadn't been done because of some of the crud in the mechanism when I got it back. So I went to an area that actually where I shot that video at. The reason I go there to test a lot of gear is because even if I have to scrub the dive for some reason, there's the one shipwreck that's like 50 feet out from shore. So I get to see a shipwreck. And and plus it's nice and shallow to test stuff. And then if you want, you can go into deeper stuff there. And so I went over and I was testing this BCD inflator and it worked for about like a couple of minutes. Next thing you know, it froze open on me. And let me tell you, not having seen that or have that happen in 28 years was definitely a like, oh my God.
Yeah. And that, so you see, so even for somebody who's practiced, look, these things happen. Scuba gear, generally speaking, is made to be safe. You know, nobody wants anybody getting hurt and all that. We're just talking about consequences. All system fails at some point. Maintenance is absolutely required and all that. What we're talking about here is a system that inherently doesn't develop like when it does fail, in the unfortunate event, even a system that's well maintained, there's faults. We are humans. The difference is here you have something that when it does, the consequences are just very, very manageable. That's all. I mean, it did something that was, the only reason I made that comment is because when Denor came to Maui, he was trying to like break things. And I'm like, you don't even know the system well enough. Let me show you how to really break it. Like you're trying to break it like, you know, it's like a driver trying to break a car before you learn how to drive. No, no, there are things that, let's go deep so you can actually show where things are. And again, it's very hard. Like you will need to have four or five things all happening at once, which at that point you're saying, yes, it's true. Even in standard scuba, the valve of the tank can cause all kinds of things that are, you know, insanely rare, but you need to get very, very deep in the weeds.
Yeah, I think actually I've been getting a lot of questions from all of my dive buddies and stuff and people I know who dive on the Avelo system and what I think of it. And I think the biggest thing or the biggest hurdle that a lot of people are going to have with it is they're not going to believe it until they try it.
True. That is very true. But you can say that about open water scuba too, right? Diving itself. You can say that a lot of people will not understand what the world underwater is until they experience it. They can take a submarine tour and all that. It's not the same.
That's it. True. And I mean, it does actually, for somebody that's learning to dive new, it would be way easier as well because you don't have to worry about the buoyancy stuff. I mean, you have a cutaway tank there. Could you maybe just show us a bit on the cutaway?
I'm actually, as I'm talking to you, I'm sculpting the next little demo because we find those to be very useful. I'll show you our new mini one. It'll be easier to show, I think. It's a prototype, so don't judge. So it's still like falling apart.
Oh, that's cool, actually.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, actually, since I have it here, I'll show you. We'll take the bladder out. This is all obviously a model. So this is what the inside of the tank would look like. Obviously, this is a very small version. It has a carbon fiber shell. That's what gives you the support. And really, this is not the scuba tank. If you want to think about what Avelo is, this is a shell. It's a very strong shell. It's designed to hold tremendous amount of pressure above and beyond what standard scuba has. But it's a carbon fiber shell. The way that they make it is they take a liner, an aluminum liner. Here, I'll even take it out to show you. See, there's a liner. They take that, they form that first, and then they weave around it with carbon fiber, and it becomes a shell. So I'll put it together. And this is for the composite over a pressure vessel. It's been around for decades now. It goes to space, every paintball is made like that. But for scuba, this is the shell. What you actually dive with is the bladder. So it's a rubber bladder. This one is printed, so I cannot, you know, squeeze it. But you can see one behind me. And now within we teach, you'll see one of those models in many locations. We're going to put that in. All right. So I'm going to hold it because, as you saw, it will come up. So. Yeah. If you have a bladder, if I inflate the bladder, when you put a tank together, here, let's put the tank together. We have a tank. You fill it like you fill any other scuba tank. It's a Dean valve, very common. The bladder will go all the way to the bottom here, and it will take the entire inner volume of the tank. At that point, it's like any other scuba tank, but the bladder is what contains the gas. So you go in, this is very light. It has a certain displacement. And as I said before, that's what provides a lot of flotation force that you need. And we do a calculation to show you if you need any weight, how much weight you would need. You get into the water, you float. When you're ready to dive, that's when you pump water into the tank. And you can see water will flow from this side. it will flow behind the bladder and then around it, and it will start to compress it this way. You don't need a lot of water, as you know, for you. You probably use one, maybe 1.5 cycles, pumping cycles, which last about a minute each. And yep. you just need enough water to sink your head below water. Now, the head is pretty heavy. So to get the head underwater usually takes about a liter. When you float up here, the positive force on you is something like, it's about 1.5 kilograms, if that. So all you need is 1.5 liters. It's anywhere between 1 liter to 1.5 liters, depends on your dimensions and what you're wearing. So that's why 1 to 1.5 pump cycle is all you need. That's it. Once your head is below water, and the tank is like that, you have water around it, and you have the air inside the bladder, you're done. At that point, you swim. You either let yourself sink down by breathing, or you actually swim down, but nothing changes. The bladder volume doesn't change. It has compressed air in it. The water keeps it where it is, and then you swim. So
yeah, that's very cool.
The rest of it is you need a pump to pump water in, and you need a valve to let the water out. The bladder will always want to push the water out. So what question, tell me, what questions do you typically get now on this?
Do I typically get, first of all, okay, what's the failure points on it? That's the biggest one, especially from anybody that I technically dive with. and my answer is always none, except for your regulator.
Well, you know, that's another thing that, just think about the mentality of scuba, where failure is the driving force for the training. Like the training is against failures, which is good, but it's not. When you learn how to drive, you don't ask yourself all the time, what happens if my car will fail? You learn how to drive. You absolutely learn how to avoid whatever. And then in advanced training, you do. But that's the thing, that the inherent issue with standard scuba system is failures are, you know, have grave consequences. So the mindset is to ask about failures. And then you tell them, yes, if it fails, if the battery fails, you abort the dive in the next 30, 40 minutes. And it's very hard to comprehend that concept. It's like, how can that be? They're like, because you're not changing anything. The battery, if you are able to start the dive, nothing changes from that point on. Either you can't start the dive because the pump, you know, the battery doesn't work. But once you're in, meh.
I've actually had a bunch of guys over the last couple of weeks, because they knew I had the Avelo system with me. They're all bummed out because they've been bugging me to go dive this week. And I'm like, I can't. I got to get my tooth fixed, because they all want to see it.
Yeah. Does it? Do you find yourself being surprised by, once you understand it, and you went through the training, of how simple of a concept it is, yet how challenging it is to just explain that once you change the fundamental physics, many things go away.
Yeah.
Yet you need to explain them.
Yeah. And it is, yeah, no? It is hard for an experienced diver like me to like get over the fact of like, okay, I don't have to worry about BC buoyancy anymore. It's just,
yeah,
go and enjoy the dive.
Yeah, I know. It's the most challenging part is there's a mindset that's like, well, but physics is physics, right? You're like, yes, yeah. Physics is physics. We didn't change physics. We're just making better use of it.
One of the biggest questions I've got probably on the Avelo system up here especially is how is it in cold water? Which, I mean, I know you guys have done lots. Jennifer's done lots of ice diving with it even, right?
Yeah, I mean, but yes, absolutely. And our team did. We even dove dry suit well before that. We dove dry suit on Maui just to explain what it is. But you, from your own experience, I mean, forget what we've done, right? Because You came to test the system. So what was your impression in the cold water?
It was awesome. It was way more easier to it. I didn't have any issues with the system at all. It is way easier to dive with a dry suit and way safer. If I had one, I would not do any shore diving except for or shallow diving without a Novello system, just because the ease it is with me, even on a boat. If I'm on a boat, even on a single tank, I have to get somebody to help me stand up. I literally have to have somebody steady me to walk back to the boat, because otherwise odds are I'm going down on the deck at some point, especially if there's a wave.
And that's, by the way, that's true for, you know, this is pretty common. If you're, regardless of your condition, heavy gear is heavy gear. All you need to do is to lose a footing on a slippery boat deck. What do you, out of curiosity, give me the full setup of what you have: undergarment, type dry suit. I'm in my head. I'm going through how much buoyancy added do you have on that thing?
I have a white tri-lam dry suit, and I use these big heavy CTX polar underwear.
Okay.
So
that's a thick. That's a thick. How many millimeters do you think of thickness do you add with that?
Well, it's pretty thick.
It's pretty thick. This is like a centimeter plus.
Yeah. Easily. This is like an older pair of underwear. So it's.
How, I don't know how tall you are. Like, what's this? What size dry suit is that? Medium, large, extra large?
Large.
So that's a large suit. That's a lot of buoyancy. Wait until you dive this thing in a pool. So you're even experiencing in, I mean, I won't say extreme, but for cold water, this is a heavy undergarment, serious dry suit. It's a serious airbag that you have on you, and that's why you feel it. So how much weight did you end up? Lead. So the Avelo system, obviously, by itself, is far lighter than standard. So that cuts you the 20, 25 pounds from your normal setup at least, but you still need to compensate for the dry suit. So how much weight did you end up with Avelo?
I dropped another 13 pounds, 23 pounds I was using with it, which I was amazed at, because I, for some reason, have to use a ridiculous amount of weight anyways. I tend to float a lot, and I always have for some reason. And I don't think the extra titanium I have in my legs helps either. No, I'm convinced of that now, or at least I'll say that.
That is weight. But yeah, it's the same density. It's titanium. Okay, so you were able to replace. So you're still diving. Yeah, I can't wait for you to go dive this in a bit warmer environment. Just so you can see what it's like to walk around, because when you were walking around with the system plus the lead weight.
Yeah, felt... I was walking around with a full setup.
You should go dive somewhat warmer waters. I mean.
Well, if that was an option right now, believe me, I would.
No, just for the sensation, because it's you're experiencing the Avelo system still with some pretty significant compressible volume,
you're managing dive it with a wetsuit.
Yeah, because you're managing right now just pinches with a dry suit. Wait until you don't have a dry suit.
I know, it's pretty amazing. Actually, I was telling Aviad earlier, I have a system back here that my buddy's actually, he's on vacation, the guy who helped arrange to get me to go down and do my podcast interview for Nepto. And so he's graciously lent me his Avelo rental system that he had for the last couple of weeks. But when we were diving previous to that, we did a few dives, and he'd end up starting, he'd always bring his normal scuba gear with him anyways. So
Then we go and we start getting suited up, and he's like, oh God. He says, you need the Avello. You use it. You need it more than me.
Hey, I do want to give a shout out to Nefto. They're doing a fantastic job in talking to people and explaining, truly just explaining without getting into like arguments and all that. They're great. Like, these guys are awesome. It's much appreciation from our side.
I had a very enjoyable time certifying with those guys. They were really cool. So I'm hoping that actually John Luke's talking about coming down next summer. So hopefully I'll get to do some diving with them then.
It's funny because when we developed the system, the name Avello came from, you know, essentially the flying below or flying underwater. And that was one of the interpretation of the name. And our pump manufacturer is French. And he's like, and it took them like 2 years to tell me that. They go, why did you name the company a bicycle? like, what do you mean? So he told me. So then the first video that they did in Nefto is like, we don't know why they named the company a bicycle, but hey. And I was laughing. I saw that clip. I sent it to the pump manufacturer. I'm like, you see? Yep.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome setup. I mean, so tell me though, you guys, Shearwater just came out with their own version of the Avello jetpack. So tell me about how that came around and also the differences with the Shearwater one compared to the standard Avello.
Oh, it came to be, it's been years in development. So Avello, from a business standpoint, is made out of very experienced scuba instructors who taught in various disciplines and in very different regions around the world. The system was really philosophized towards the what's an enjoyable diving experience on a back mount configuration that can lend itself to other things. Because there's a lot of things that, from a technical standpoint, the system opens up all kinds of very interesting configurations for different types of diving. You mentioned side mount. That is more related to the streamlining and all that. But when you think about, I'll give you this. This system is the first time that you dive with a power source on your back for every diver that is universal. And you need it, but as we discussed before, if it stops working, you're still safe. So, but you still have one, which means that the industry can capitalize on that. And then you also have a compressor on your back, right? Every time you pump water, the pressure can go up, which means that if you dive with two tanks, you can mix underwater. So there's all kinds of things that it opens up. From the very beginning, the philosophy of the company was that we developed the first system, we demonstrated it, we wanted to see it. This is a big, big industry. It is a game changer. And it's bigger than us. It's a game changer philosophically on how scuba should be done. So you can't keep it. You might as well license it out on the hard goods side, and we concentrate on the training. Met with Shearwater back in middle of 23 was the first meeting, very quickly. So you saw your profiles through the training, you saw your dive profiles and all the data.
Yeah, oh, which is amazing, the Avello mode.
Yes, so the data. That's the thing. That's another thing that's hard to explain unless you dive. Unless you see your own dive, it's hard to see the value of that data and what it does. And you cannot get that from standard scuba, as you know. You can't because it's not trackable. It's not physically trackable in the same way because it's not. Pneumatics work very different than hydraulics. So when they understood what's going on, very quickly the discussion was about licensing, developing the system. And that's why their jetpack has the transmitter built into the system, so it can track all the data and then some. And really, it's a platform for, as you said, future development, current development. But Avelo as a philosophy, the idea is that we concentrate on the training, and under a license, there will be partners. So that's when you ask me how the Shearwater Jetpack came to be. As you know, they're a fantastic team, extremely capable people. And you know, the teams have meshed together really well. They all like diving cold water for whatever reason. We concentrate on the other side of the closer to the equator.
It doesn't sound like you do too much cold water diving.
No. I personally am being forced to do it. I don't know before. The thing is, we're opening dive centers now all over the world. And so we don't even have a choice anymore. It's not like we can decide Neptune comes to whatever. But there's a ton of diving that's done in quarries, in northern US, in Canada, Europe, obviously. So we're opening. But the collaboration with Shearwater and the partnership with Shearwater is very, very deep.
Which is amazing. I mean, it's definitely going to open up technical aspects of it, which I really like. If you happen to, when you're trying to test out some side mount units, some side mount designs, if you want a crash test dummy, I will be glad to volunteer.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I will keep you in mind.
I would do it in a heartbeat. Actually, I was Jennifer said she was going to be coming up here in like October or November this year, and unfortunately, because of all your busy stuff, that got pushed away. So I'm hoping I get to dive with her next summer up here.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. This is October. Still, yes, it's still cold.
It's
less cold.
Even in the summer, even in August on our wrecks, like it's cold. It's cold. Oh,
getting out of the water is cold.
I was diving when I started side mount diving this summer. I was diving aluminum tanks, so I was just diving wetsuit at first with it, and when we do wrecks like the Arabia or Forest City, the main deep ones up at Tobermory, I would usually pick my poison and do one dive, because by the end of, if I did two dives on it, I would be froze. Even in, yeah. And I mean, I have a Halcyon dry suit or Neotech suit, but which they're awesome, but it's cold, even in the middle of summer. It is cold, 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 cold on any of the deeper dives.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what's local. And it's funny, we have a lot of dive centers now that are only diving dry suit. We have people we have individuals who dive in the Northwest, in the Pacific Northwest, only dry suit because the entry and exit conditions from the beach, you know, it's a long walk, it's hard, it's, you know, but it's also wavy and all that. And yeah, they love it.
I love it. It's worth it once you get in the water. It's not so worth it when you're standing outside freezing in the middle of winter getting ready. Like, okay, get me in the water at least.
Yeah. So what's your next, what are you doing this year for diving?
Let's see. This year, my goals, I plan on doing some more wreck diving, some deeper wreck diving. I also want to get some, certified to about 150 or 160 because, you know, when I started back in the 90s, I didn't have to have a certification to go to that depth. So,
true.
I was actually just just getting into technical diving when I got out of diving in the 90s. And so like back then I'd do 160 feet and would, I mean, no scuba police or anything. Now you got these things on your wrist that Dan says, oh, well, if you're diving out of your limit, you're not covered.
Yep. And we, and now I'm bringing a fellow mode in the tracks even more. It says, wait, you knew exactly how much you were breathing. You knew what your workload was. But honestly, this is like anything else. Technology has its, at the end of the day, you know, yeah. It's with a good cause in mind.
And I definitely, I'm hoping I'll be able to get use of one to use for the summer of these, because I would use it a ton. It would, they open up such an amount of stuff that I can do that I cannot do on normal scuba, just from entry points. There's actually several dives up at Tobermory that I won't do, that I have not been able to do because of the walk in, or even having to tow a car with all the stuff because it's so far, I just can't do it when I'm on regular scuba gear. So, you know, this is, yeah. I get one of these, I can actually go and join the guys and do a dive.
No, this is great. I mean, I can't tell you how rewarding and driving this is to hear it from your side, that it opens up, you know, your opportunities and expand it. That's, you know, on more of a personal level, this is like great.
It is incredible. Like, I mean, I never thought that I would be like I did in the video, walking around with scuba gear for fun. Like, come on, who wants to walk around in scuba gear for fun?
Yes.
And my buddy, who, I mean, he dove with me a bunch this summer. And I mean, he was sitting there laughing at me the whole time, because he's like, nobody walks around in scuba gear for fun like this. And I'm like, yeah, but I haven't been able to.
Yeah. And this is the guy that owns the system?
Yeah, he doesn't actually own it. He got a rental unit from Nepto,
From Nepto
for the winter for a bit. So I've actually been stealing his rental unit.
Gotcha. Good for you.
Unfortunately, he comes back in 8 days. I don't want to give it back to him.
Oh, look, things get lost sometime, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, he knows where I live.
Yeah, no, for sure. How did he, when he told you about it, it was a happenstance, or he was,
he actually had gone to get certified the one weekend. We were diving, and he says, oh yeah, I'm going to Montreal this weekend to get a Velo certified. And I'm like, really? So I'm like, okay, well, I said, tell me how it goes. You know, I was still pretty skeptical of it. And when he got back, he's like, dude, you got to try this. Like, especially you, like, he says, this thing's incredible. And I'm like, really? Is it that good?
That's the common thing. Like, you need to know somebody that, you know, but it is funny. You'll hear it from everybody. Did you talk to the guys at Nepto that dive it, or how many other divers do you know?
That's it. Just basically me and my buddy and the two instructors that from Nepto that were there, and Jennifer I've talked to, and Dan. And those are the only guys that I've talked to that have actually dove with it.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, find a person that dove it that didn't. You know, and I'm not talking about like, there obviously instruction can be a key, days could be very hard, you know, the ocean can be, you know, horrendous that day, so things can happen. But, you know, talk to somebody who dive it that will tell you, no, it's not for me.
My buddy's actually been trying to work out with Nepto to come up here and do like a demo session, and apparently he's got, so far of the list of our dive buddies between us, he's got like over 20 people that want to try this.
Yeah. I do think that Nepto, as soon as they open back up, are they open now?
No, they're closed for the winter. That's why we were able to borrow one.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting if the, but if you guys are diving, how come that you can't do sessions now? Is it too cold for the common diver?
To do teaching, it would be cold for
Gotcha.
do teaching up
Yeah.
here right now. I mean, we actually have gotten a couple feet of snow in the last couple of days, so
No.
because we were actually trying to convince Jean-Luc to come in December, early December, and do it because my buddy had lots of guys that were interested in doing it, and he's like, "Oh, I think it's way too cold," because you'd have to be in and out.
Well, don't you have a pool somewhere? A deep pool?
Yeah, we do. We could rent like a rec center or something like that, but
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can do a ton of the training in the pool and get ready for the summer. Anyway, you guys can talk to us and we'll show you. You can do a lot of it in a pool and you get to experience it and you get to learn the buoyancy. I mean, now that you dove it, you understand that one of the keys is that to really not only like get the weighting correctly for a Vela, but you want to time underwater with the system to practice it. You can do the skill, you can even practice if they're more advanced, they can even do things like share air with their professionals than the rescue. A lot of this can be done in a pool. You don't have to wait until the outdoor conditions are there, because at the end of the day you're getting used to a new sensation of diving. By the time the system rolls in, you can be very experienced and you can finish the certification there, then. But there's a ton of stuff that can be done in a pool, especially a deeper pool.
True. Around here, I think they're mostly 10, 12 feet. I don't think we have anything real deep,
Okay.
but yeah, we will definitely have to look into that. But there's definitely been a lot of interest. I know that every time we've gone to dive, there's been people show up mainly because they want to see the Avelo system because they know we're gonna have it there.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest thing that surprises everybody is they see how I struggle with my regular tanks. Because especially diving sidemount, I'm diving steel 95s, Fabers, which are really
Yep.
yeah, very heavy. So I'm diving in steel 95s. I can only pick up with one hand, if I'm like walking up to it, I can only get my 95 about like that far off the ground because it's so heavy, just lifting it up like that. And I mean, the Avelo, I can lift it up to my armpit with two fingers.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I mean, when you have people saying, "Well, it can't be that light," you're like, "Well, of course it can." It's what do you mean it can't? It's carbon fiber versus, steel.
Actually, I once again out of the car, I grabbed it. And I'm like, "All right, be careful with this," right? Went to hand it to him. He's like, "Oh my God." And I'm like, "See?"
And you guys are diving the silver top, right? The system behind you has a silver top to it. It's not
Yes.
blue like the one I just showed.
Yes.
Good things are coming, I will tell you that.
Oh
Things
yeah.
are
So
gonna get it.
what do you have coming?
Even lighter. As I said, things will become lighter. They're already, most of the world today is actually diving the new version. And this will stay with us for a long time now. The tanks have changed. You guys got the cold water version, if you will. And the new tanks that are in existence now in most of the world, and all of these tanks will be replaced. They are blue. They're lighter by about roughly 2 kilograms, which is significant. But at
Wow,
that
yeah.
level of the closer you get to, there's a certain threshold where your body will feel a better and better improvement on the weight, but it's exponential. It's not linear with how you feel load on your body. And so every kilogram that we can shave off of it is going to become more and more significant. So 2 kilogram, taking 2 kilogram off is a thing. And so things will become even lighter.
Now, one question I do have as far as that goes with the tanks, because I'm not familiar with carbon fiber tanks. What's the lifespan on these tanks supposed to be? Or is there one? Or is it same as standards? Just keep testing.
Well, that depends on the philosophy. So an old school diver will tell you that they are diving their tank from 1952 and it still is good. You're like, that's great. In today's world of pressure vessels, that is a liability of no, you know, yes. In the chemical industry world, you will never ever do that. The tank you're diving is called a COPV, composite over a pressure vessel, type 3. That's the type that you're diving, was made for water. And all of these, firefighters and, as I said, special units and the paintball, all of them have 15-year life on them, on the shell. Remember that this is a little bit, of a different game. It's the shell.
Yep.
And you can replace a shell. You don't replace the tank. It's a shell. Talk to me in 15 years from now. How about that?
Okay.
You know?
All right.
It's like when you're saying, like, it does it have a life? If you want to dive an old, if you want to put a bomb on your back that is 35 years old, go for it.
There's a lot of guys that do that, though.
And that is totally okay. There's a lot of guys that are doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Just because they're older divers doesn't mean they're smarter divers necessarily.
I did not say that. I'm just saying that people practices and perceptions are things that are not always anchored in science and factual. But yes, people do. But people also dive SPGs, single regulator. You know, there's a lot of things that are, just because it's done doesn't mean it should.
That is true.
Yeah. Talk to tank inspections, tank inspectors who are doing that for a living, not scuba necessarily, true pressure vessel experts. See what they think about the, you know, a life expectancy of a pressure vessel. And I'm talking about in a factory. Not something that you strap to your back and you go breathe from, in direct contact with you.
I know that since I've been diving the Avelo system, my wife used to be a former diver. She can't dive anymore, unfortunately. But she watched a couple of the videos on it. And she says, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's way safer." She eventually wants me diving Avelo instead of single tank, just because of the safety factor of it,
look, at the end of the day, so that comes down to price, right? If it wasn't for the price, there's a certain level of technology that justifies the price, and it's true for many industries: mountain biking, skiing, climbing. You know, you won't go climb a rope that is very heavy, because first of all, there's density and there's risk, but you also are not going to carry that much gear with you. It's a rope. Everything is measured by the gram. Think mountain bike and road biking, and the length and the effort that they invested in making every fraction of the bicycle, you know, lighter. Scuba just didn't. So, but with it comes a certain amount of price. That this is just materials and manufacturing. It's not a. Yeah. I do want to correct any sort of impression that there's a profiteering from on the technology side and all that. It really is what it is, but it also provides value, as you said, in lightweight, in extending life. Like, let me ask you this: what's the value of extending your diving horizons and abilities? You know.
There is no price tag you can put on it. The whole reason I started diving again was for my mental state, and you couldn't get me a stop period.
But that's what I'm saying. So when you look at the price point and you compare the value of that, take a mountain bike today, $5,000 US mountain bike is sort of average in today's world. And people don't blink. I mean,
yep.
My son goes to school. They have a mountain bike team. You know, it's a piece. The world just got used to it. Look at ski, the cost, the total cost of skiing, the total cost of other experience at the end of the day keeps you sane. And so what's the cost of that? And yes, you can always compare it with standard scuba, but you also compare the level of experience that you're getting from it.
Oh yeah. It's way better. It's way better. It's way safer. I mean, I said it in the beginning of the video and I will stand by this. I'm convinced that it will save lives just because of the reaction time and stuff that you have with it. And for an instructor, and honestly, I could see eventually down the road where I was even telling John Luke this, where I can see because of a lot of insurance companies are starting to shy away from scuba now because of the risks and stuff like that. I could see where eventually they could get breaks on their insurance if they're only running the Avelo system for rentals.
I cannot talk about that.
Oh,
that's I agree with you that there are aspects of this that can say, but safety is such a, it's a topic that needs to be taken very seriously and from very different angles, because, you know, safety is really practices and training and the gear. Like, it's a combination of a lot of things. I hope that as an approach, the scuba world will be able to see and adopt and understand as we go forward what this has to offer. That's, you know, and I'll leave it at that, because I do see industry leaders in this industry understanding that if we keep doing the way that, you know, you keep doing the way that you've done, you're going to keep getting the results that you got.
Yep. All right. Thank you for Aviad for joining me today. It has been amazing talking to you on the Deadfoot Diver podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And talking to you about Avelo, I've been very excited to meet you, especially since I got certified in the Avelo system and to talk to you. So it has been awesome today. And hopefully, you know, hopefully you'll be up here at some point and I might be able to get to go dive with you.
I would like that. I would like that very much. I owe it to the Nepto guys to come up and meet with you all.
Awesome. I'm up for a dive anytime. So, all right, guys, remember, grab an adventure and live, and I'll see you next time on the Deadfoot Diver.